Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, DraftKings, it's DW here on this late Tuesday night. I almost said Wednesday. It's about 11 o'clock Eastern time. Welcome to another edition of Inside the War Room. It's our 8th edition. We're slowly creeping up on the 10th edition of the show. I'm really enjoying all the guests we've had so far. We've had Deshaun Ross, Spencer Linn, Clayton Truitt, Zach Hodges, Mark Jones, and tonight we will have on a national champion, Jarrod Lacy from Colorado State Pueblo. There's a lot of guys coming there from that school. It's getting a lot of buzz from the scouting community. You know, guys like Darius Allen, Chris Bonner, and even Jarrod Lacy's getting some NFL looks. So we will have him on tonight. Here's a little bit of inside track on him. He's 5'11", 196. I'll round it up, 200 pounds. He's a very solid player. He likes to stuff the run, get in the backfield, bring down the running back. He's working on ball skills, but I think he's going to be a very good developmental guy, a very good special teams player. He's very positive about life. He has a future plan, and he always looks to see how the play develops. Jarrod's going to join us here in just a moment to talk about his NFL journey and what he can bring to an NFL team. So check him out. If you want to know his Twitter handle, shoot him a follow. Follow his NFL journey. It is at J_Lacy05. Shoot him a follow. Follow his NFL journey. Give him support in this process toward the NFL. All these guys need as much help as they can get. So it's really important that we give all the support we can to these guys, big, small. You know, everyone has an NFL dream they need to realize. He was a second team All-RMC AC Player of the Year. I really like what he brings to an NFL roster. I really like how aggressive he is to bring down ball carriers. Jarrod Lacy is a guy that we all can enjoy. So without further ado, I would love to bring our special guest on. Mr. Lacy, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, boss?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem. Anytime.
Well, I'm just going to jump into the basics. You know, the show is pretty much I'm going to profile you, let you talk about your NFL journey a little bit. I'm going to ask you a few questions, some that you might have to think a little more about, some I'm going to give my take on. But let's jump right into it. I've told our listeners about your size, your weight, what kind of player I see when I look on film, and some of your accomplishments. I've already told them where to follow you on Twitter to keep up with your NFL journey and just the basics. So let's jump straight into it. What kind of colleges were looking at you coming out of high school ranks? And, you know, did you have any D1 offers? What was your transition like from high school to college?
Coming out of college or high school, I didn't have much offers due to injuries that I had. So I gotten letters from a lot of D1s, University of Buffalo, Southern Illinois. I had all those, but when it came down to it, my last two offers that were on the table was Colorado State, Pueblo, and University of Charleston. So I kind of took the visit out here to both schools, and I figured, you know, this was the best fit for me with the facilities being, you know, top-notch at the D2 program, having you know, a great coaching staff and a great city to be around. You know, it's a small town out here in Pueblo, and the fans love football. So, it kind of sold me, you know, the passion they have for the football out here.
Tell me what your relationship with Donnell Leomidi is. I know he's known for his aggressiveness in the secondary. He is a guy that really values the safety to be a ball hawk and the secondary. Did he have a big influence on you coming to Colorado, Pueblo, Colorado State Pueblo?
Yeah, he had a big influence. He was calling me every night, you know, kind of like clockwork, you know, 7 o'clock every night he'll hit me up, ask me how I'm doing, how school going, and kind of tell me, you know, what I'm getting myself into if I come here. And basically said, you know, hey, you know, you can be there for this program. You know, you can get an opportunity to start, you know, most of the time that you're here. And then besides that, he's just a guy that he took me in under his wing with open arms. You know, he tell all his players, my door is always open. You know, it don't always have to be about football. Y'all can come in there and talk about, you know, school, talk about, you know, problems at home or just anything. And I kind of use that to my advantage, being able to talk to him about anything. And more than anything, just what he's been through kind of paved the pathway for me, and meaning that, you know, he just, you know, got over cancer. And to see him fight through that adversity, you know, taught me, you know, why can't I fight through anything, you know. And that's why I drive so hard. And I got guys, you know, or people doubt me on, you know, on my future or whatever. And, you know, I think about what he's done and how he overcame what he did and made me say, you know, why not me?
And it's so great to hear guys that are determined to make it to the top, you know, prove the doubters wrong. There's always that whisper in there and saying, you know, you can't do it. But you have to get past that. And I think you have a great mindset bringing, you know, that forward. Tell me about your transition going straight into college football. What was the transition like? Did you have a redshirt year, or did you start right away? Did you make an impact early? How were you early on going forward and, you know, eventually getting the national title, which we'll touch on here in a little bit?
It was crazy. Coming out, you know, I was a running back primarily in high school. And when I was getting recruited by Donnell, he was telling me he wanted me to play safety. And I was like, you know, I played corner in high school as well, but I as a safety, you know, I never really came down to fill holes. And you know, I never knew I had it in me that I can play safety. And then I got here, and it was a process. I had to learn, you know, how to read high hat, low hat of the O-line, and get used to all the plays back there, and really being the quarterback of the defense. So I had the red shirt my first year, but I felt at first I didn't like it. But then, you know, dealing with homesickness and getting used to the college course classes and college football, the pace of it, and the work ethic that goes into it, it kind of, you know, it was the best thing for me. So after that red shirt year, I had a senior in my place, you know, got some playing time my red shirt freshman year, was the starting nickel guy. And then my sophomore year, it was go time, you know, and I started 3 years since then, sophomore, junior, and senior. But it made me a better player, become more diverse back there, you know. And coach told me, you know, he doesn't recruit, you know, he likes to recruit athletes. You know, he likes to recruit somebody who play offense because he knows that they'll have good feet work, good hips, good, you know, good everything. They'll be, you know, perfect back there in the secondary. So it was an adjustment, but, you know, it worked out for the best.
You know, I think it's great that you've developed your game. Your coaches have had such an impact on you, you know, developing the skills to go forward with your game. Tell me your relationship with a few of your teammates, one on the defensive side of the ball, a guy that a lot of scouts like, or two guys, Tell me your relationship with Darius Allen and Chris Bonner.
Darius Allen, man, and Chris Bonner. First, I'll talk about Darius Allen. He's a hell of a player. You know, he's a guy that I've learned a lot from just being around him and his focus on the game and critiquing himself and making sure that he gives 110% every play. His motor, you know, just to go 100% every game, every play. His ambition for the game. You know, he's a guy like me, you know, a guy who grew up in the struggle and doesn't have much, got his mind focused on the dream and won't stop until he achieves it. Great guy. Chris Bonner is one of the most down-to-earth cats I know. I hang out with him a lot. He's a great dude to be around just because he brings out the best with, you know, everybody around him. He's there for people when you need him, and shoot, he has his own clothing line and even hooks me up with free shirts from time to time. So, you know, you can't go wrong with that.
I think it's great that you build a relationship with your teammates and, you know, you can take that forward understanding, you know, this is kind of what a locker room's like. I know NFL locker rooms are different, you know, instead of college guys that are in their 20s, you're dealing with, you know, grown men. Let me ask you about some of your alumni. Have you interacted with guys like, you know, Mike Pinnell, who just, you know, was one of the bigger D tackles? Have you talked to Darius Milanez, you know, guys that have proved themselves and, you know, taken their game to the next level? Have they brought any insight to your game going forward?
Oh, most certainly. Mike Pinnell, you know, we still keep in contact. He's a good dude. Same with Darius Milanez. I played Little League football with Darius Milanez, so, you know, we stay in contact and everything. And the kind of insight that they gave me was just that, you know, although it's, you know, a bigger stage and you know, it's the NFL or, you know, whatever you're trying to achieve to play at the next level, you know, it's they said it's nothing really different, you know, besides the work ethic and all of that. But they said, you know, do what you do. Play how you've always been playing, you know, and it'll come. You know, they say it's not much difference. You know, it's nothing to get, you know, too nervous about. Just go out there, be yourself.
And the bigger, faster, stronger, that motto that I use so much when I talk to different prospects, you know, you have to wrap your mentality around that and say, you know, these guys are the best of the best. You might have been at the top of the cream of the crop in the college football ranks. Which leads me to my next question. Tell me about your playoff experience and winning a national championship, something that some guys never experience, but you had a chance to bring home the gold. Tell me about your – I know obviously you had an outstanding season, but, you know, your playoff run and, you know, bringing home the gold for the school.
It was a sign. It was just a relief, you know, very satisfying to come from losing to – Fort Lewis and everybody kind of doubting us, you know, thinking that we got too big-headed because we beat a Division I, you know, a powerhouse, actually, you know, Sam Houston, and then coming back and struggling a couple games and then finally losing the first game. But that was actually one of the best things that happened to our football program, meaning, you know, it woke us up, you know, brought us down to reality and was like, hey, you know, we got to get it going now. So what Fort Lewis did was that for us was, you know, wake up a beast. And it helped us because instead of, you know, in the previous years going to the playoffs undefeated and then, you know, not knowing what it was to lose and then to lose in the second round for 3 years straight, you know, we kind of got that monkey off our back in the season. And going into the playoffs, we had that taste in our mouth from still, you know, the loss. And then, you know, that gave us the motivation to go on and win four straight to get to, you know, Kansas City. And it was good because every playoff game that we were in, we were predicted to lose. And that is, you know, that's big time for us because it fueled us. You know, we had people doubting us. You know, we've been having people doubt us all our lives. You know, you're not good enough for D1. You know, you're not good enough to play here or there. So, that was our mentality the whole playoffs. And we went out there and we wanted to showcase our talent with the top-notch Division II schools out there. And coach always said, to be the best, you got to beat the best. So we went on that run, and that was our single focus right there, you know, just taking it one game at a time, you know, trying to make a statement that, you know, we belong here.
I think it's amazing that you've come together as a team to realize, you know, it's not only about the win, but, you know, it's coming together as a team to focus to get the goal. I think that's outstanding. And, you know, I think everyone should get something out of this that, you know, a team's the reason you can get somewhere. Moving to my next question, let's talk more about your game. This time in our little show, I'll be asking you, who do you think you compare your game around? And then from what I've seen on your highlights and tape, I make notes and I give you my comparison. We talked a little bit about it on Facebook, but I told you that I'm going to tell you tonight. I'll tell you here in a few minutes or a few seconds. Who do you compare your game around? And I'll give my take on who you remind me of.
I don't, you know, really have a comparison, but just, you know, for somebody, you know, if I want to go about that route, I would say TJ Ward, you know, just a scrappy guy who's, you know, a little bit smaller, but, you know, definitely has the fight in him to go out there and get the job done. Somebody, you know, he goes down, he makes tackles, you know, he's consistent, you know, with his technique. That's somebody I can tell myself to.
TJ Ward is quite a physical corner. He's always around the ball, especially in the run game and, you know, in the backfield, always making a play. I found out yesterday that you're a Dolphins fan, something that we both love. My Miami Dolphins draft experts have quite a Dolphins fan base around me that, you know, we do this for them too. And the guy that you remind me of is a former Miami Dolphin that you were probably pondering all night who it was. Did you ever figure out who that you might have been related to on the Miami Dolphins?
Not at all.
Okay, let's go to an Eastern Kentucky guy drafted in the sixth round in 2003. He actually was one of my favorite players growing up, and, you know, I really enjoyed watching him, was Jeremiah Bell. You remind me so much of Jeremiah Bell. He's about 6 foot, 205. He never really was a ball hawk, but he was so physical, he could make, you know, 130 tackles a year. He was very physical, and that's exactly who you remind me of, is Jeremiah Bell.
Oh, my God.
You can't forget about Jeremiah. I mean, he played for us for probably about 10 seasons. But, you know, that's who you remind me of. I really like your physicality, very similar to Jeremiah. And, you know, he had quite a story, too. You know, he didn't make an NFL squad for a while. He also worked at a steel mill for a little bit, and then he made the jump to the NFL. So he's actually got quite a story. But moving on, I think that's always cool to see who, you know, each other always think is like, well, you know, I think you're like this. So I think it's really cool. This part of the show, I'm going to ask you, have you been invited to any All-Star games? Or, you know, All-Star games are of us, but did you go to any All-Star games? Did you have any opportunities to do that? Are you going to go to a regional combine? What's your next step of action?
I did have two All-Star game invites. They were more of the smaller All-Star games, but it was the FCS Bowl down there in Miami at FIU Stadium, and the Dream Bowl. And the FCS Bowl, we were still in playoffs while that was going on, so I couldn't go to that one. And the Dream Bowl, you know, I was kind of coming out of that long season, and, you know, it was kind of short notice, so I wasn't able to attend that. But outside of that, I really didn't have anything else. And as of right now, I'm training and still, you know, getting my degree at the same time. And trying to get into the regional combine up here in Denver, showcase my talent there. So I will have more word on that soon. I think the spots for that filled up, but hopefully an opening comes up.
Just keep plugging away. Find a way to get yourself out there. You have some talented teammates, so I'm sure you probably can get to a pro day, I'm sure. Especially, you know, I'm not saying you're not a higher profile guy, but we know that, you know, Allen and Bonner are going to be looked at a lot bigger, per se. So, you know, get your teammates to help you out. I'm sure, you know, you probably have a pro day, or at least you can attend a pro day that will have those guys involved. I'm sure an NFL team would love to have your aggressiveness. The next part of the show is something I like to call the three wish segment. I'm your genie, and I will give you three wishes. Your only stipulation is you cannot wish yourself instantly on an NFL team, CFL team, or any instant success to make it up. But you have three wishes, anything you want, other than instantly making it to the league. So what are your three wishes?
That's a tough one. But I would say if I had three wishes, one of them would definitely be that world peace. Another wish would be that that no one has to die. You know, that's sad for me. I don't like going to funerals. I don't like seeing people die. So, you know, I would wish for that. And then the third would be just to have all the money in the world, man. You can't leave that out.
You know, money's so important, but sometimes you go look away from stuff. I'm sure you wouldn't be one of these to say, you know, I got to have it, but I'm sure you'd use money for so many good causes, helping family, you know, helping, you know, guys under you. So, you know, I know what you mean by money. You're not after the money per se, but you want to help people with it. So, you know, I understand that. And my last part of the segment and the show, I call it the one-on-one GM take. Dennis Hickey is the GM for the Miami Dolphins. He's brought you in for a private workout. He has Chris Greer, the director of pro scouting, and a scout to his left. And they just finished working you out. You impressed him with a 36-inch vertical. You ran a 4.5 for him. They like what they've seen on tape. They've asked you about your background. Now that Dennis Hickey closes his notes, puts away everything, and looks you straight in the eye and says, why is Gerard Lacy a good fit for the Miami Dolphins franchise? What makes you unique from all the different safety prospects coming into this draft, and why can you make an impact for my team? What makes you special? You have 3 minutes to tell me.
What makes me special is I'm a diehard fan for this franchise, you know. So you're going to get somebody who is very passionate about the organization. What separates me is that I'm a guy who has a major chip on his shoulder and is would not stop it, you know, giving it my all, 110% every single play, somebody who's going to come in and lay it all out on the line, you know, treat every practice like it's a game. I'm somebody who is very physical, and you're also not just getting a player, but you're getting somebody who can bring a good chemistry to a locker room, and somebody who is a leader, you know, somebody who, you know, been through adversity and knows how to take it on head on. Just, you know, an overall guy who just loves to be in your organization and put on that jersey and represent you guys well.
Sports fans, draft fans, this was Mr. Gerard Lacy. I've had the pleasure of talking tonight. He's brought a wonderful story. He's a national champ. He's looking to take his game to the next level. Playmaker in the backfield, making plays, taking down the ball carrier, the wide receiver. If you want to check him out, his Twitter handle is @J_Lacy05. Shoot him a follow. Follow his NFL journey ahead. Hopefully he can get a regional combine or something to showcase himself and get him to the next level. Is there anything you want to do? Give a shout out to anyone, anything at all. It's on you.
Just a shout out to all the supporters, everybody who believes in me. We in this thing together and we will get it done. Thank God, thank my family, you know, and live on, baby.
Well, if there's anything that I can do for you, reach out to me. If there's anything Mickey from NFL Draft War Room can do for you, just let me know, and we'd be more than happy to help you out. I will continue to get your name out there and plug you away. So I wish you the very best in everything you do, and let's stay connected.
Will do, boss. Appreciate everything.
You're welcome. Have a great night.
You too.
That was Gerard Lacy, safety of Colorado State Pueblo. Very great kid, and I really like what he brings to an NFL team. The aggressive play, the love for the game, the teammate camaraderie. I'll probably just butcher that word. And just, you know, so many things to like about him. I think you're getting a distinctive guy that is aggressive. His field awareness is wonderful. He understands team chemistry. And it's a guy that wants to continue to get better and a guy that's continually going into the right direction. So I really enjoyed having Gerard Lacy on tonight. A big shout-out to him. Thank you so much for coming on. Tomorrow we will have Gary White of Eastern Michigan, defensive back. We'll hear his story. Great guy, another defensive back. And then Thursday night we will have our first quarterback. We have Aaron Wilmer of Delaware State University. Really looking forward to having him on. Someone I look as Tavarius Jackson. He's been offered, you know, a spot on the hit series Undrafted. He might be doing something with them. So we'll have him on Thursday. But tomorrow we will have Gary White. Once again, big shout-out to Gerard Lacy of Colorado State Pueblo. Thank you for coming on tonight. And sports fan, this is your host, DW. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And I look forward to bringing you another edition, the ninth edition of Inside the War Room here on Blog Talk Radio. And I hope everyone has a great night. Take care.